You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
It is the day after Thanksgiving, and you're listening to Big Fish Small Pod. I'm A.T. Werdahl here on the Fish Stripes Podcast Network, with another 10-minute episode to catch you up on all things Marlins as you go about your Black Friday. So, wanted to catch you up on some information from the Major League Baseball Players Association that was revealed this week to The Athletic. They presented a guide to their players that was received by The Athletic as well that dove into their goals in this negotiation. Just to like give you that, they're looking to incentivize competition. They go on to say that we continue to see clubs openly choosing a model of sustained losing while still reaping economic benefit. Winning at all levels needs to have value or our system doesn't work. Pretty agreeable point. We all want to see a winning team in baseball. We like competition. It's like the drama that brings us all to the sport as fans. So that like totally rides true with the fan standpoint. They want to be ensuring the most talented players are on the field. That has been an issue lately. We've seen some like service time manipulation where like a minor leaguer might be held back from the majors when really they're ready. We've also seen some mid-tier free agents sit idle. We like Adam Jones going not in Major League Baseball. Another request of the MLBPA is they want to reduce artificial restraints on competition like the competitive balance tax and draft pick compensation that can really like affect a free agents market as well as gives like teams benefits for not necessarily trying their best and putting their like best foot forward being competitive. It's like a pretty holistic picture that they're trying to paint. They do also have the request that getting players their value early in their career is a priority for them. Usually, like barring Super 2 status, Major League players are stuck at the league minimum for 2 years, 3 years, if they're not that Super 2. And in those 3 years, the player can be really valuable. Like, look at, like, Wander Franco, who signed a, like, almost $200 million guaranteed contract during his, like, first year of service time. There is some value there that is being left on the table for the player, and $500,000 versus, like, millions of dollars is big as far as making choices and having security instability in the life of the player that doesn't have a lot of consistency in it, even with all the travel involved. It looks like we're heading into a week where we'll see some non-tenders, we'll see exactly which of these Marlins that the team wants to bring back for 2022 at their like arbitration estimates. There's a good write-up on fishstripes.com if you're interested in like seeing that drawn out. What I want to do today is look deeper into a couple of Marlins that are still like active. Brian De La Cruz and Jesus Sanchez, both playing for the Toros del Este and the Dominican Winter League, both have like played pretty well in their careers. Like, they both came in to the majors, Marlins, this year, and down the stretch really solidified themselves as like everyday players, or like potential everyday players going forward, and guys who've seen a good amount of major league pitching at this point. Now, both these players have very different profiles as far as like batters. Jesus Sanchez being more of a like high power guy with some like strikeout in there. But Brian De La Cruz is more of your like contact hitter. Pretty well defined by his ability at the plate, not so much like the physical tools that he brings as a player behind the bat. Whereas like Jesus Sanchez, I mean, look at like just like the guy's legs. He's enormously strong. And knowing that, you can see a bit of a development in his time in the Winter Leagues. Going back, he's now played for 4 years with the Toros. Not like everyday play all the time. Going back to like 2017, when he was 19 years old, he got his first like look at the Winter League with 4 plate appearances, no hits, and he came back the next year for 4 games. This time starting, he got some hits, got his first like RBI in the league, but 15 at-bats, 200 batting average, didn't really stand out. Then last year, as he got some major league at-bats, got more like established as a hitter, he played 10 games for the Toros, 37 at-bats, and he hit like a respectable 278 with like a 770 OPS, and he started to like look like your like starter type player. And right now he's on a bit of a tear. In 15 games, 69 plate appearances, he's hitting 328 with a 900 OPS, like clearly at the top of the league. Not like literally at the top of the league, but he's one of those really standout Dominican Winter Leaguers, which is really promising because it seems to validate what we saw the last month of the season with his like 8 home runs and just like standout batting average. It felt like he was just a different presence at the plate with a much more like disciplined nature to him. That like really does track in the Winter Leagues. Right now he's sitting on like a split of like 10 walks to 14 strikeouts, up from like 1 walk to 10 strikeouts last year. So that does seem to speak to like a confirmation of an actual improvement for a disciplined, strong batter that might be getting better and better at choosing his pitches and like attacking it. Now, the Dominican Winter League does usually lack that top-end pitching talent that you see in the majors by nature of just how pitchers' workloads throughout a year should be a little bit like lighter than a hitter's. It's like less repeatable generally, especially as like a pitcher develops. There's more of a risk, but we are seeing some real consistency from Jesus Sanchez this winter. Really promising as he looks to be a everyday starter going forward. Brian De La Cruz also has shown an interesting time in the Winter League. He's like a more confounding batter because he's not like really like projectable, as it were, with his physicality. Like looking back at his splits throughout time, really.
He's never really lit it up with home runs or stolen bases. His tools have been, like, fairly limited. And he's been, like, really, like, stifled at a couple of different levels. When he started in rookie ball in 2015, he had an OPS of 582. And then at his first taste of double A, he had 179 for Corpus Christi in 2017. This is before really appearing in the Dominican Winter League for him. But already he faced some challenges with the bat and had to make those adjustments to even get past, like, average competition at those leagues. And that's why, like, the Winter League is more of a confounding thing for him. He's kind of always been in that, like, mess of hitters without, like, standout tools, that, like, middling level, that, like, kind of average player. But what he's shown is that, like, he could be an above-average player. With, like, his performance at the major league level, I mean, 296, 783 OPS, like, that's really great for a rookie. Really great consistency, especially for a rookie. And in the winter, he's not quite held it up. 47 plate appearances, 233 batting average with a 649 OPS. But really what we see with him is that he struggled against ground ball pitchers at the major league level. And a lot of the pitchers in the Dominican Winter League are those more developed, sophisticated pitchers that don't have, like, the power stuff, that have had to make those adjustments and develop, like, secondary pitches, like splitters, to induce ground balls. So it might be that he's facing just a bulk of what he's not good against while continuing to play baseball deep into the year. Those most two recent years in the Dominican Winter Leagues, pretty minimal at-bats in the affiliated leagues around it. Partly pandemic-focused as far as, like, 2020. It could also be that he just doesn't have the same thing to prove to the Astros last time he was in the Winter Leagues that he does now as a major leaguer. It's interesting to see how both of these very different batters play in a totally different environment. But it's also really encouraging to see them both sticking out as potential everyday players at 23 and 24, ahead of an important year for the Miami Marlins organization. Thank you for listening. I hope all is well. We'll keep you updated at Fish Stripes about the latest, you know, the non-tender deadline and any other news that might be of interest. But for now, I've been AT Wordall. Thank you for listening.